Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome back to the Drake Podcast of Joy. This is going to be a little different of an episode, more of a meditation, a daily meditation. You might be able to hear the music behind me. It's a kind of a quiet piano instrumental, so maybe you can hear that. But I woke up, let's see, thinking about how to achieve things, how to do more things, how to accomplish this and that and the other. And instead, I decided that I needed to focus more on... Hello, Sarah. Hello. Good morning to you as well. Hello. How are you, Frank? Great to see you as well. Hello, Joe. Nice to see you guys here. Thank you for being here. So thinking about more on what true riches are, what does it really mean to be rich? If you are like me, you see people that have nice things, and on TV or on Instagram, you definitely see all kinds of stuff. And maybe you're not like me, but I often think, wow, I wonder how I can get a hold of that Tesla, or I can maybe have that nice suit or whatever watch. I was watching this thing about Post Malone. He has this really fancy watch. But then I started reading the Bible, and it's interesting the perspective that God gives us with regards to riches. There aren't any fancy watches in the Bible. It hardly talks in the Bible about big homes or perfect bodies or about a lot of followers. Even though those are the things that we often think about or we see as success, that's not how God views success. Now, you might say, well, that's not success for me, but maybe success for you is that you want things to be easy. You want life to be simple, and you want to have everything go your way, meaning you want to have a happy life. And you look at your life and you think, well, my life isn't that great. Shouldn't it be better? And so, you know, we all have kind of one of that one thing that we want. And so I wanted to take you to Matthew 6. If you are watching me on YouTube or Twitch or all the other platforms, you'll be able to see this. If not, you may not be able to see my screen here in terms of these verses, but you can just listen along. So this is how God views riches. This is how God views comfort. I have many friends that want to travel. They're dying to travel to Europe or to other parts of the world. There are other people, maybe this is another thing that's out there, is that want to serve everyone. They want to help the world, and they feel like they can't. So whatever your ambition is, from service to Rolex watches, this is how God views success. It's really interesting. So Matthew 6 says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth." And that really is it. I mean, that's the point that that's what he's telling us. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth. Now, what are those treasures on earth? We immediately think of money, but again, it's not just money. There are at least four major things that most humans long for. One is to be the best. Number two is love, relationships. Number three is to travel. And number four is material things. And I would say the fifth one probably is service, meaning give to help other people. Those are the five things, let's just say, that most humans long for. One of those things. And you can call that your treasure. It doesn't have to just be material things. But what God is saying, what Jesus is saying here, that whatever your treasure is, whatever is that thing that you feel like you miss, that you need the most, that you're missing. A lot of people feel like they're missing love. I mean, I have so many friends that I counsel and I help that they go from boyfriend to boyfriend, relationship to relationship, trying to find that perfect man, that perfect woman. I have other friends who are obsessed with their bodies, who will do any diet and wear any clothes to make them look and feel better about themselves. And other, maybe men, are into gambling. or womanizing or drinking or workaholics. I mean, you see our society, you see our culture. It's an addictive culture. Some people, as I said, are addicted to pain. They're always complaining about what hurts, about their lives and how sad they are. All of those things are the addictions of our culture. But Jesus says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth. Whichever your treasure is, even your kids, oh my goodness, I have so many, obviously, moms who will say to me, I treasure my kids like nothing in this world. And you might think, well, isn't that good? Well, of course it is. Any of these things are good. Any of these things are important. But it's when they become your obsession. A treasure simply is something that blinds you. A treasure is just simply something that blinds you. You can't see anything else except that one thing. Whatever it is, it doesn't have to be money. It could be your children. It could be your comfort. It could be your pain. It could be your depression. It could be your past. Have you ever met people that live in the past, that are stuck in the past? That's their treasure. And so what happens with treasures? It says here, they basically die. They fall apart. It says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. So what he's saying is that all of these things that we treasured, they all fall apart. All of them do. Let's say you love your children, back to family. What does that mean that they fall apart? Well, they eventually disobey you, right? They eventually do what they want to do. When they're little, they don't want to go to sleep. When they're teens, they want to do what they want to do. When they're adults, they make choices that may hurt you as a parent. I mean, you can't really, I mean, as I said, I've met parents in their 50s and 60s, my age, that basically their kids are their idol. They can't live without their kids because there's something broken in them, and their kids becomes their treasure, their idol. They lean on them so much, and the kids are, it's like this, what do they call that? Codependency. There's this unhealthy relationship between mother and daughter, mother and son. So everything falls apart. Everything that is not Jesus will betray you, will leave you disappointed, will discourage you. For us, for men, could be for women, of course, it's success. You want to be the best. That's my treasure. That's where I go off the tracks. It's I go to success. So I want to be the best. I want to have everyone know that I am the best. I want to win. I want to compete and win. It's how I've been my whole life. But what happens when I treasure that? What happens when I don't win? Then I have nothing. That's where it says here. It falls apart. Moth, rust, they destroy these things that we treasure. Or if maybe that's not what happens to you, if someone doesn't destroy it, someone steals it from you. That's what it says. And where thieves break in and steal. Have you ever had someone steal your dream? Steal your purpose? Steal your life, maybe? And I have many people that would say that their ex-husband stole their happiness. They abused that relationship that they had. And I'm not saying it didn't happen. I'm just saying these are the things that do happen in life. I'm not saying that these things are, you're supposed to just get over them. No, my point is exactly that. These things will rob you of your joy if you put them above God. Even a husband, your children, your house, your health, your past, your pain. A treasure is anything that blinds you to the truth of God. And so what's the answer? Well, verse 20, it's really beautiful. It says, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. What does that mean, to treasure heaven? Does that mean that we should all just want to die and go to heaven? I think there is some of that. I think there is some truth, or this includes that. Not that we should have a death wish. I don't mean that. I mean that true treasure is to be with Jesus. You know, like my grandmother passed away 20 years ago, my father as well, 15 years ago. And my guess is that they now have their true treasure, right? Any of our family members, you have relatives that have gone to be with Jesus. They are now truly happy. They are truly experiencing the joy of the Lord. They are truly rich now because they are with their Creator, with Jesus Himself and the angels and all of creation. But now, what do we do in the meantime? Well, it says, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Well, what does that mean? Well, verse 21, he explains it. He says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So basically what he's saying is, love God above all things. He says, wherever your treasure is, your heart will be also. Excuse me. So he's saying that we ought to love Jesus more than our kids, more than our success, more than our bodies, more than our pain, that we ought to love Jesus above everything else in this world. That's it. And that's something that I don't think about enough. Oh, sure, we go to church and we read the Bible and you tune in here. I'm thankful, right? That we're listening, you're reading the Bible, you're listening to great content online. You're trying to delete 99% of your friends on Instagram who you don't really need to be lurking on their lives. You need to just listen to God, right? That's what I've done. I don't look at anything anymore. I just create content, godly content that's helful, and I just put it to you, for you to enjoy and to build you up. But I've deleted everything. I don't know anything about anybody's lives, and I'm okay with that because it's not where my treasure is anymore. I'm not out looking for likes or comments or how many views. I have zero views. Zero. You look at my timeline, it's zero everything. That's not what I'm after. I'm after being a man of God, being a man who can give you what you need, regardless of the numbers. Just let me do something really quick here. I'm just getting this music here to do what it's supposed to do. Okay, I think that's it right there. Okay. So where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. What does that mean? Make Jesus your treasure. You know, the other day I was watching an interview by Manny Pacquiao. I'm a big boxing fan. And he became a born-again Christian like this year, last year. I'm not really sure when this interview happened. But he was saying how before that he was a drunk, gambler, and womanizer. Someone said that his trainer said of him that he had never met a man, any human being, that spent so much money on gambling like Manny Pacquiao used to. But Jesus changed him. And so this program was showing him walking through his native Manila in the Philippines, a province somewhere there in Manila. And you could see all these building materials all around him. He's building a church for his native country. He's building a church for the people where he grew up. I thought, wow, what a change in his life. And that guy who was interviewing him was asking him, well, what happened? He's like, well, Jesus changed my life. He said, he is my treasure. He's everything. Well, but what about your boxing and your gambling and your womanizing and your political ambitions and your belts and your championships? He's like, that's all just irrelevant to me. Jesus is my treasure. And because of that, now he's building churches and giving money to the poor. And that's what it looks like. And forget money. Don't tell me, oh, well, I'm not Manny Pacquiao. I'm not talking about you building churches or about you giving money. I'm talking about what happened in his heart. I'm talking about something changed him. That's what treasuring Jesus looks like. It's your whole life changes. Instead of you being home stuck, you go and serve the poor. Instead of you skipping out on church every other week because you have to work, you work less and make less money so that you can give more time to the church. Instead of you being depressed at home, gaining weight, feeling sorry for yourself, you go out for a run and you maybe bring someone with you so you can help maybe a younger woman or a younger man. That's what treasuring Jesus looks like. You don't have to build churches or give money away. Although if that's what God is calling you to do, then you should do that. But when Jesus is our treasure, it means that we're blinded by Jesus. That's all we see. Everything we see it through the filter of Jesus. You ask yourself, should I really be talking to this person? I don't think that's what Jesus would want me to do. And I'm not talking about the bracelets or what would Jesus do. I'm talking about treasuring Christ. When you treasure Jesus, when you're blinded by Jesus, then you don't see anything else. You're like, I don't want to see that. I don't need to be involved in that relationship or in that conversation. I don't need to gossip about my neighbor like that or speak ill or evil of my worker, my coworker. I need to stop that. I need to stop fighting with my sister or with my mom. That's not what it's like to treasure Jesus. When you're blinded by Jesus, you're blinded by love. You're blinded by positivity. You're blinded by compassion for others. You work less hours so you can go to church more because you need more of Jesus in your life. You work through the issues that you have with people because you want to be right with God. You take the 10 shirts that you have in your closet and you give 5 of them away to someone in need. You drive a less expensive car. You live in a smaller house, in an apartment, because you know that your treasure is Jesus. And in due time, he will give the desires of your heart. But in the meantime, you serve him and him alone. You put him first above all things. Nothing else matters. Not your views, not your followers, not your career, not your body, not even your family. Jesus himself said, if you are not willing to even let go of your mother and father, and let me include in their wife, husband, kids, boyfriend, girlfriend, abuelita, tío, you're not worthy to follow me. Crazy. Crazy stuff that he's saying. But that's what this passage is saying. Wherever your treasure is. Now, why is he saying that if you're not willing to let go of that, you're not worthy of me? Because you can bring stuff with you on the way to the cross. You can't let things bog you down if you're trying to honor Jesus. And even family or your job or your career or your past. That's why Hebrews says, forgetting what lies behind. Setting your eyes on the prize. That's what treasuring Jesus looks like. It's a radical life. It's not what your friends do. It's not what people on YouTube and Instagram and Facebook are doing. That's called normal, boring Christianity. That's called American Christianity. That's called passive living with Jesus just on your wall or on a Sunday morning sermon. But true Christianity, the way that Jesus commanded us to live, is where he is everything and he blinds you. That's all you see. And guess what? At first, people will think you're crazy. At first, maybe for the first year, 5 years, 10 years, people will think, what is wrong with you? You should be into cannabis. Come on, everyone's smoking dope. You should be into depression. Everyone's depressed. You should be into wanting to go up the success ladder. Everyone's doing it. That's what you're going to hear. You're going to have people tell you that you're nuts. But in due time, in season, people will begin to look at you and say, can you pray with me? Can you take me to your church? And what's going to happen when you're like, I don't go to church? How disappointing. I don't really believe in that anymore. Wow. But imagine if you're someone who is committed and radical and you double down on your faith. You triple down. You double dare, dog dare on Jesus right now. Not when you're sick, not when you're broke, or not when you're happy. But right now, when it makes no sense, when you're going to be the sore thumb, you're going to be the person who's going to stick out like a sore thumb, is what I meant to say. When you're going to be the crazy woman or the crazy man or the crazy young person or the crazy old man who's all about Jesus and all about God and church and the Bible and all that stuff. I don't mean to be some crazy fundamentalist conservative who's anti-gay, anti-war, anti-everything. I'm not saying that you should be pro these things. My point is, it's not about you hating on people either. I'm not talking about what they call white conservative evangelicalism. I'm not talking about being a Republican. I'm talking about being pro-guns. I'm not talking about the things that we get stuck on where we reduce our faith to political wars and political battles. I'm talking about living for Jesus and you listening to the Holy Spirit in your life and you being a person of compassion and grace and love and acceptance and letting that be your sole focus. No matter your age, your political party or your past, no matter. It's a radical thing I'm talking about, isn't it? A radical way of living. No one is doing it except maybe some missionary in Africa or some kid in North Korea that is trying to live for Jesus amidst the horror of some of these places. We don't see it here. No one talks this way. Everyone is just going down the same path. Living for themselves, going to church once in a while, giving 10 bucks once in a while to God. That's what American Christianity looks like. But the true way of Jesus is one where he blinds you. I don't know what he then will tell you to do. I don't know what he'll ask of you. I know what he's asking of me, and that is to speak boldly about what should be, about what ought to be, about what the Bible teaches us. That's what I am doing to try to align my heart with Jesus and to make him my treasure, not my success or my past or my awesome haircut that, you know, I hope you noticed. I'm just playing, you know, any of that stuff. I could come on here and talk to you about how to make $1 million. How to be successful. You know, I like that stuff. I think about that a lot. And every time I go down that road that I've always done since I was a little boy, this is not new. This is something I've always thought about, success being number one. There's something inside of me that tells me, how about you being number two and letting Jesus be number one? What if you let me do that? Why don't you let me do whatever I want to do? Why don't you make Philippians 4 your goal? Where Paul says, whether I have $1 million or $100, I am happy because I have Jesus. Whether I have $1 million or $100, I am happy because I have Jesus. I mean, isn't that true life? Isn't that true gozo? Isn't that what we all want? Isn't that what the world needs? You think that people need this message? And yet, why do I have like zero people here? Because everyone would rather listen to, you're amazing, you're rich, you're famous. Or, I'm so sorry that your life is so sad. Or, let's go to the park and let's talk about your problems. Or that's what we all go, or just entertainment and the Kardashians or cooking shows or veganism or social justice or Bernie or Trump. I mean, whatever, right? Not, again, I'm not saying any of those things are good or bad. I'm just saying that's where our attention is. 1.8 billion people on Facebook every day. Twice as many on Instagram. Same with Twitter, Snapchat, all the rest. So our attention is going to those things, not to Jesus. Jesus is not on Facebook except for this show. And so putting your treasure on heaven, like it says here, what are the benefits of that? Of laying up for ourselves treasures in heaven. What are the benefits of that? Well, these things last forever. It says here, neither moth nor rust destroys. Thieves do not break in. No one can take away. No one can take away your joy when it belongs to Jesus. No one can take away your peace when it comes from God. No one can. Nor height, nor depth, nor any other created things. For I am convinced, as Romans 8, that nothing in this world can separate me from the love of God that is found in Jesus. And I'm telling you, that's what I want to do. I've done it for my whole life, 50 years since I was born. I've done it, and I can't wait to do it for the rest of my life, 50 more years, if God wills it. And that's what I want to encourage you to do. No matter if you're 10, 20, 30, 50, 80, live starting today for Jesus. Make him number one, and everything else, make it number 10. Not even number two, make it number 10. You have to shun evil, says Proverbs 1. It says, trust in the Lord, shun evil, fear the Lord, and reject. What does shun mean? Reject. Talking about rejecting Twitter, rejecting Facebook, rejecting your past, rejecting your pain, rejecting your depression, rejecting the man that left you, rejecting your poverty, rejecting anything that is not Jesus, rejecting it, saying no to it and saying yes to Christ. That's the life, man. And if we die tomorrow, if God forbid there's some crazy earthquake here in SoCal or wherever you may be, guess what? You will meet the true treasure. So all is well, isn't it? Come to Jesus today. Put your faith in Christ right here, right now. And if you have, live for Jesus. Radically starting today. My prayer for you today is that we will together do this. That we will live this radical life that really is just normal Christianity, but radical Christianity. So that we can make a difference in this world. Thank you from us. Thank you so much for watching. If I can get my words out, make sure that you like, subscribe, comment. I will see you next time.
Thank you for listening to The David Trigg Show. Find the complete archive at davidtrigg.com or subscribe for free through the podcast app on iTunes or Stitcher on Android.
Each week, we bring you a message of joy, success, and personal power in spite of fear, anxiety, and depression. Because as we like to say, though there's pain in the night, gozo comes in the morning.